We pray to God for something, then we want to tell God when we want it.
Yeah.
The stronger I get now, the better my marriage will be one day.
Because we know as women, feelings lie, and feelings will take us way off stream.
Welcome to Braveheart Talks. I'm so glad that you've taken the time to tune in and listen to this week's episode, because this week I am joined by two of my very dear friends, Abby Field Baines and Emily Bailey. And these girls work super close with me in the church, but they also work super close with me in and on everything to do with Braveheart also. And we're going to have some conversation because this weekend is Valentine's weekend coming up, right?
Yeah.
And I love your jumper, by the way, Abby. She's sporting this beautiful red pink heart jumper. Like,
I thought so, if ever was the time to wear it, it was now.
Yes, Valentine's. Very, very loved up. And is this your first year as a married woman?
It is, yeah.
Valentine's Day as a married woman. Very good too. But we're going to be having a little conversation today, particularly around love and singleness. Mm. And how often we can feel as though we are incomplete because we're single, especially around this time of year.
Yeah.
And I've asked you to be on, Abby, because I know that we did a whole journey of you when you were single and you felt like everybody else was dating and getting married and it was never going to happen for you. And now, like we've just said, you are 1 year into married life. And so I think there's some wisdom that you could really impart. And Em, you're in this season right now where we know the one is out there and we're praying and believing, but you're journeying this out right now. And I think there can be just some helpful conversation that could take place that maybe I don't know who you are out there. And let's be honest, singleness is not just about being 28 and not married.
Yeah.
Singleness, if I can speak, singleness, it also is, it's the one who's been through the divorce or the traumatic experience. It could be somebody who's bereft, they've lost a partner. It could be that you're in your 30s or your 40s and you've never found the one, or you've had a really rubbish stint at relationships and, you know, you just don't feel like you've ever connected or ever settled in life. And so we're going to explore a little bit of that today. So let me just ask you both, from the experience of singleness, watching a lot of friends get married and do that journey, this time of year particularly, all the shops are full of love hearts and there's love sweets and love cards out there. People's conversations are centered around what you're doing for Valentine's Day, you're going out for meals. It's all about the cuteness and it's all about the whooshiness of love. And I want to ask you, what sort of pressure does that put on a woman who is single in this at this time?
Yeah, I think, you know, as women, one of the things we all fall into is comparison, just the trap. And comparison at this time of year causes us to look at what we don't have and looking at our singleness and thinking everyone else is in a relationship but me.
Yeah.
And all comparison does is cause us to focus on what we don't have or we aren't, rather than be grateful for all that we do.
That's
and
so
really
good.
Comparison is just the thief of joy.
Yeah.
You know, we know that good heart or a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. So
very good.
Comparison robs us of our life.
Yeah.
So good. What about you, Ab? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's definitely different this year around, but I kind of always used to like bury my head in the sands a little bit. It was almost like that thing that was just constantly there in your face. And you know, the last couple of years leading up to before getting married, I kind of just viewed it as a time to celebrate my friends that were married and celebrate, you know, my girlfriends that maybe were single too. So when sometimes you did like a Galentine's party and, you know, really flipped my perspective on its head and didn't look at it from what I was lacking, but more so who have I got in my world that I can love on. Because it's, you know, we're celebrating love and that doesn't have to just be, you know, for those in relationships. Yeah. We can gather our girls, we can get together and really celebrate one another.
I like that. I like that. And I think you have, over the years, you've thrown some Galentine parties, haven't you, Emily?
Yeah.
And I love that because I think sometimes we misunderstand that celebrating love doesn't mean, oh, by the way, you have to be married. That's the only way you can celebrate it. It's a time of the year where we can give honour to our girlfriends and we can show love to one another in kind and generous way, and just let your sister or your friend know her self-worth and their self-value. So I love that. I love seeing on your post when you've done your Galentine party in the past. But Abby, now you are not in this season anymore. Let me just ask you the question. What could you say to those who maybe have a sense that they are missing out because they have not found a partner or they're not with someone? How could they get a perspective shift that this time of waiting is not God wasting their time? Because what happens is we pray to God for something, then we want to tell God when we want it. I don't want to be single by Christmas, God. I want my number one, you know, I want him found. And we begin to tell God, but actually scripture tells us that there's timing for everything and God's timing is really important. And you don't just want anyone, you want the one.
Absolutely.
So how can, what's a good way for a girl to shift her perspective and not feel like it's time wasting?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Nothing is wasted in God. You know, I really viewed my single season like a lemon. And I remember saying to God, like, oh, you know the desires of my heart, but whilst I'm in this season, like, let me get everything out of it that I need to. So let me leave this season knowing that I've spoke to those I need to speak to, I've experienced what I need to experience, I've loved on those that I need to, and I'm really just got everything out of it. But something that really comforted me was knowing that nothing's wasted in God. You only have to open the Bible and look at the stories, you know, the Israelites walk in the desert for 40 years, but the work that God did in them,
that's right,
made sure that when they got to the promised land, they could take that. But if they went right away, and we spoke about this before, haven't we? God had to do a work in them before they got there. And just holding on to that thing of nothing is wasted in God. Joseph from the pit to the palace, nothing's wasted. David from the shepherd's field to the battlefield, nothing was wasted in God. So really just clinging on to that and knowing that that time was not wasted.
I love that perspective. I love the perspective that what you're actually saying there is that God was actually preparing them for what he had in the future. And so when you're saying about the Israelites, we're saying about Joseph, like God, it wasn't that God was wasting their time or holding them back, but he was doing something within them.
Yeah.
And that's a really healthy perspective, really.
Yeah.
Which kind of leads me on to something that I do want to ask you, Em. And I want to ask you, like, you know, during this time, you know that where you are in life now is not the desire of your heart. And so where you are in life now, and by the way, she's in a great place where she is now. Like, you know, you're fully engaged in church. You're a super girl. And we'll get onto this in a little bit. But literally, either of you could grab a date at any time, any place, anywhere. But you're not.
Yeah.
Well, you're not.
I'm not.
No, you're definitely not. You are married now. No. But you're not doing that, and you're not doing that for a reason, because you're holding out because you believe that God's best. So in this season, what are you doing that is spiritually and emotionally preparing you for what you believe is in your future in God?
Yeah. So I think for me, one thing I've just decided, or, you know, said to God, is no matter what season of life I'm in, whether I'm single or married in the future, no matter what, every season will be fruitful. Fruitful means you're going to grow. You have to grow. Mm. And in singleness, I think we get to choose, am I going to grow bitter because I don't have what I want? Or am I just going to grow better? And the better I get now, the stronger I get now, the better my marriage will be one day. I can never be anything collectively in a marriage that I'm not already individually. Yeah. So rather than sitting and wasting in this season of singleness, I choose to wait, which is active. And I think just practically one of the best things I've ever done in this season to help me get better is just to learn who I am in God. Yeah. So the more I know who I am and who God calls me to be, the better of a wife and better of a woman, just, you know, in its own way, that I'm going to become. And I'm not becoming because I just want to be a wife. I'm becoming because God deserves me to live out my best.
I love that. Yeah. That's such a, that's wisdom. that you don't, you know, and it's so true. You're not going to become anything as a married person you were not as a single person. If anything, the marriage just adds pressure. And so you have to outwork. And the more time that you have to do that, and isn't it ironic? It's like God graces your life with time to be able to work out yourself, work out his plan for you. But what he deems as valued time, we deem as wasted time. Because we're saying, you should have done this for me 5 years ago, God. I don't know why you're choosing to wait till this stage of my life. But God knows what he's doing. And I love that perspective that you've just shared, that we can never be something and that we're already not.
Yeah. I think as well, just thinking of time, like you were saying, Bible says there's a time and a season of everything. So in this season, singleness is just for the season. Mm-hmm. And it means that if God's not put it in my hands, he's not entrusted marriage to me yet.
Yeah.
So I just need to make the most of this fruitful season where I am.
Mm, and it will be fruitful. It is fruitful. Yeah. But here's another thing as well. In the same way that you're viewing it and saying, you know what, well, God's working on me. He's not entrusted me with marriage yet because, you know, he's still working out some things within me. Well, don't forget there's another one in the equation. Right. And whoever the he is, he's still maybe working on him too. You know, maybe he's not saved yet. Maybe he is saved. Maybe he's just got some issues he's got to work through. Maybe he's got to get his finances in order. Maybe he's got to get a job first. That's really important, by the way. Job first, woman second. It's biblical. And so, you know, there's a lot that we cannot see. We serve the unseen God because he sees all that is not seen. And and we only know our part of the story. We don't know the complete story, and God is outworking a complete story. So I'm excited. Watch this. Watch this space. So Ab, looking back on your life, and you did the singleness season, and I know that you were part of a friendship circle, and everybody seemed to be dating, and we, you know, had this rolling joke, she's forever the bridesmaid, and we were just like, oh yeah, Abby will be the bridesmaid again, and but you did finally meet, and you did marry, and we've just got a beautiful story unfolding right there. But what are the most valuable lessons that you learned in your season of singleness?
I think God's really took me on a journey of truly loving myself. Because knowing that that was going to be the standard that the man of God was going to love me at, you know, if not more. And you spoke about it so beautifully the other Sunday in relation to myself. And you said, you know, about the Bible verse that talks about you've got to love your neighbours as you love yourself. Yes. And we see that all the time. Don't we? We hear people talk about it all the time, saying you can't, you know, pour from an empty cup, and it's much the same. So God's really took me on that journey of what self-love looks like, and really truly loving myself in who he says I am, and not just that stereotypical way of, oh, I love the way I look, or I love the way I am, or I love the way I dress, but may I love who I am because of who he is through me.
So good.
So that was a big lesson. Another big lesson was how to champion others in their season. So I touched on it before, but really just focusing on that verse that speaks about rejoicing with those who rejoice, and just really getting behind them. And for as long as I haven't got my husband's, guess what? I'm going to pray into your marriage. And, you know, if everyone's out on date night and you're struggling, if something's going on, let me be the one to come around because I'm free. Let's pray about it. And just really getting along those friends of mine who were dating, you know, and just really investing in those relationships, because I think looking back now, I had a choice, you know, be bitter or press into God and believe what he was going to bring for me. Yeah. And in you know, in the waiting, I was going to love on others who had what I wanted.
Yeah.
That's really an interesting perspective. Mm. That's like the woman who can't have the baby. And so she's throwing all the baby showers, and it's like, I'm going to celebrate rather than be envious of what others have. I'm going to celebrate what they have. Mm. And I'm going to believe that if God can do it for them, then he's going to do it for me too.
Yeah.
Why would he not? You know, the Bible talks about God giving you the desires of the heart. And we can often think about that as God giving us what we want.
Yeah.
But actually, I believe what the scripture really means is that God puts the desire, the thing you're desiring, If you're a God-honoring woman and you're walking out your life in the ways of God, he's going to put things in your heart that he wants you to desire upon. So if you're desiring for one day to be married, to find the man, then guess what? That's a God-given dream. It's something he wants for your life, and he's going to bring that about. And I think, you know, I know we've talked in the past and about aligning yourself and just getting yourself all lined up and to do the best on me that I can possibly do, so that then God's going to do what only he can do. And so I'd just like to ask you the question, Em. So we've talked about how you're waiting for the one. And I mean, you never know. Someone might be listening to this podcast. It's like, I've got a really godly brother who's not married or a neighbour. I'm just like, send his deets in. We'll go for it. We'll have a little side hustle. And Braveheart little, you know, dating agency. Maybe. But you've always used this phrase like, you're not waiting for any man, you're waiting for the man.
Yeah.
You're not waiting for just someone, you're waiting for God's best. How would you define God's best? Because before you send your applicants in, let's just define what is God's best. Yeah.
And I think it goes right back to what you were saying about the desires of our hearts. So I think it's so easy when we're single to make a big wish list of, I want him this tall, then have this kind of hair, this kind of hair.
That was a lie.
But you are the exception.
Yeah.
And I think we can get so caught up in the superficial of those lists, but actually God's best is not about how someone looks. God's best reflects his character.
I love that.
We are desiring after God's best. We might have a wish list, but God's not a magic genie who's going to grant our wishes. And I don't want a wish, I want his will. So it's about seeking in the word, you know, in my Bible, what is God's best? Let's look at his character. Yeah. His best should always reflect who he is. And when you think about love, I think, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us exactly what love is. Yeah. It's patient, it's kind, you know, it's not envious, it's not boastful. That is what God's best will be, I believe, in my future marriage. So, yes, you know, people say, you're picky or you're, you know, like waiting and waiting. And I'm like, well, why would I date if it's not intentionally for God's best? So there's no point in hurting or wasting this time to get better. The best.
I remember when we, just as a strange example, but when we were selling our house, and I was frustrated, like, what if how many people have we got booked in to view the house? And somebody said to me, you don't need a lot of people coming and trapping through your house. You just need the right one.
Yeah, that's right.
All you need is the right one and the house is sold. Mm. And it's kind of a little bit like that I'm being honest, you could go on a plethora of dates.
Yeah.
Like if you wanted to, you could be out, you could be on every dating agency's books. Mm. You can get out into the bars and the clubs and, you know, join different communities and events, and you could get dates. If that's what you really wanted, you could get dates.
Yeah.
But you're not doing that because you've got a value about yourself. You understand that. You know what I was speaking when we were talking about self-worth from the platform the other week. We talked about how I'm not my own.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was bought with a price. So I belong to my father.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to move according to what my father says is right for my life and is good for my life. Yeah. I can't just go out and do anything I want with my life. And so all of this, you know, I've got to try before I buy. I've got to have at least 7 boyfriends before I know the right one to get married to. And all of that is just, it's just not what we do as Christian women. And I'm going to throw a curveball at Abby because I'm just going to ask you the question. How did you know that Josh was the right one for you? And because I, you know, again, I've journeyed with you for many, many years. Yeah. Being asked out on dates was never the problem, the issue. But how did you land at the yes with Josh?
I really think the way he kind of brought my walls down.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, I felt like I you know, when I was starting to open up, I just almost felt, and now looking back, you know, I know it was God kind of being like, no, just reserve that. Don't give, you know, too much away. And I remember going on our second date and I was crying my eyes out, you know, ringing my friends like, I didn't want to do it. I'm so nervous. Like, I don't want to go. And then I got there and I said, oh, I'm just getting my parking ticket. And Josh said, don't worry, like, I've bought it for you. Like, there you go. And he just, when we were dating, it was just a series of just allowing me to break my walls down and just loving me through that. So, you know, I was open up one day and he said, can I just say nothing you're saying right now is scaring me. It was just that constant reassurance and that constant just feeling like I was safe. And then before you know it, I was like, oh, I think I'm falling in love.
Oh, yeah.
So just that continual just gentleness with me. And
so it wasn't a case of, here's my number, give us a call when you've got it all together, girl.
No. He was amazing. And yeah.
I love that. Now, there's a phrase that we use quite often and it's, man does not complete me, God does.
Yeah.
Right. And I love that. Mm. And I think that's an anchor for all of us. It's the truth. Mm. It's the importance. Mm. Woman was completed before man came along. Man came along first. Get your theology right. Man came along. But what I'm saying is, woman was established. God pulled her out of the side of man. He created and made her, and he blessed her outside of man. Yeah. So she's not blessed because she's with him or she's a part of him, but she's blessed as an individual.
Yeah.
And so we know that men do not complete us, but God does. Yeah. However, we have been given the spirit beings that we are. We are in female bodies, and female bodies feel lonely.
Yeah.
Female bodies, we crave affection. Yeah. We want to be loved. And so how do we get through the emotion? Because we know that God completes us, but our emotions say, I want to be loved, I want to be held, I want to be hugged. And so, like, how do we deal with those feelings when we know what the truth is, but we're still combating the feelings?
Yes. I think it's allowing yourself a bit of grace in feeling those feelings. Yeah. Because I think sometimes, you know, as Christian women, it's okay, but like, don't feel lonely. And we're constantly telling each other, you know, to not feel that. But it's so hard to navigate when you do feel that loneliness. I think opening up the words, the truth, just because we know as women, feelings lie and feelings will take us way off stream. You know, we can create a whole alternative reality in our heads that aren't even true based on our feelings, based on the time of the month. So I think really just going, okay, this is how I'm feeling right now, but let me get a bit of truth.
Yes.
And opening up the words and reason, he's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he is all of those things. And so this may be how I'm feeling, but this is the truth. And I'm going to declare that over myself. I think that's a really...
Yeah, I think that's really great advice as well. It's just there's nothing more solid than the word of God, and it is our truth. It's our north. It's what we have to keep going back to, and we have to, you know, disciplining your flesh, whether it's, you know, I really want that chocolate and I can't have the chocolate. Yeah. I'm trying to lose the weight, but I really want the chocolate. Or whether it's, I really want that guy and I can't have the guy. Yeah. I really want the guy. It's a discipline either way. And so what about you, Em? Have you got anything to add to that?
Yeah, you know, I think something, you know, especially as I get older, I'm just learning to be okay with, is that sometimes I will feel disappointed. Yeah. And to allow myself to feel deeply disappointed in a moment, but that doesn't characterize my season.
Yeah, I love that.
So I can be sad, I can have a cry, but I'm not going to sit there and stay there. I'm going to move on because I've let it go and I've given it to God, and it's time to, you know, move forward. And for me, the best way I find to move forward, whether I'm feeling disappointed about this or just anything in life, is encouraging others encourages me. So I will, when I feel at my lowest, think, who can I message? Even if I don't know the God, to say, I'm going to encourage them. Yeah. And that always just builds me back up as well. So I think it's just being able to feel, like you were saying, abs, but not staying there and not letting that to control what you do about it.
Yeah, and you're the best at that, by the way. I'm encouraging others. That is definitely one of your gifts.
You are. Yeah. You are. When you do land a husband, my friend, he is going to be a very blessed man. I'm telling you, she is the girl of words of edification, words of encouragement. You just that super supportive person. Yeah. But I love the way you allow yourself to feel, but it doesn't define who you are. And that's an important lesson in life in general. You know what? We are human and we're going to feel sadness. We're going to feel grief. We're going to feel anger. We're going to feel jealousy and resentment. We're going to feel all of those things. But in the same way that David spoke about, you know, I go through the valley of the shadow of death, meaning like I don't camp here. It's not where I'm staying. I know it's part of my journey. You have to identify, and it's great that you've said that. Look, this is part of my journey, and so I'm going to keep on moving. I felt it. Ow, I hurt. Pricked my thumb on that one, but hey ho, I'll get over it, and I will keep moving.
Yeah.
I just want to ask you this, Emily, as well. Like, we often talk about, you know, we're waiting for the one.
Yeah.
And we want him to be perfect. And all the best with that one.
No such thing.
All the best with that one. You weren't even married a year. You can't say that. Ask me. I've been married 20. And so I just wanted to ask you a question, Em, because when we're waiting for the man of our dreams, we want him to be perfect, or at least kind of God's perfect.
Yeah.
And so we want him to be perfect. But sometimes we forget that we are imperfect.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And so we have all these standards for the guy. But how does God use our imperfections when he's preparing us for his perfect plan? Because somewhere out there, there's a man who's praying for you, by the way. Mm. He's praying for all of the attributes and all of the characteristics that you are.
Yeah.
So how does God use our imperfections?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. I think as, you know, women, we can look at our imperfections and be really hard on ourselves. We're our own biggest critic, let's be honest. And in this season, I think it's easy to go, well, I'm single because of this, or if I was a little taller, a little smaller, blonder, you know, we made up these lies that our imperfections are the reason that we are in the season that we're in. But I think when I have to remind myself when I'm feeling this way that actually God made me in his image.
Yeah,
so I'm a reflection of him, but I'm not a replica of him. So he never meant for me to be perfect. He just meant me to be like him. So I can reflect his good, but there are areas of me which are, you know, not perfect. And those areas, I believe, will one day be complimented, I pray, by whoever God has. You know, God's best for me will complement the areas where I am weakest. But, you know, it says as well in Corinthians that in my, you know, his grace is all we need, and in our weakness is where he is the greatest. Right. So in my areas of weakness now, as a single woman, when, you know, like, my electric's been off 1 week, or I have to do DIY in the house, and I'm like, I'm not made for this. But in those moments, I'm literally like, oh God, like, please help me. Like, you know, it's like friends come around you then, or, you know, he encourages you when you're like, why do I have to do everything myself? Yes. So in your weakest moments, that's where you do find his strength.
Right.
And in the future, you know, I do believe like there will still be areas of weakness, even with a man in my life, because he will never complete me. He will only add to me.
I love that. I love that. That's so important as well. And I mean, gosh, you do DIY yourself, you are going to be a catch and a half or anything. We've looked in your waiting season, and you've talked to us how kind of God has used you in that way. But let me just ask a question here. Let me just throw this out and say, how do you know when to say no? So are you really wanting, because you can't marry every godly man, and every godly man is not going to be for you.
Yeah.
So this is just a real throwing it out there.
Yeah.
How do you say no? Like, I know discernment is a big thing. Mm. So just talk to the girls about how you have both used discernment and how is it, because it is okay to say no.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we must think, you mustn't think, just because I'm so single and I'm on my own, that, you know, the guy coming across, you know, he's got 1.5 eyes and his fingernails are black and his open-toe sandals and his priest tank top. He's the only Christian guy on the planet left to date. And now he's asked me, it must be God's best for me. Like, seriously, I'll just say no.
I really think being strong on your values and what you're looking for. So I know we joked before about the list and you know, all those physical things, but really getting that list of your non-negotiables.
Yeah.
And just when that man does come along, does he align with those? Do we view marriage in the same way? Do we both think it's a lifelong thing? Do we both like wanna put as much effort into it together?
Yeah.
Do we both you know, are we both on the same path? Basically, I think that's my biggest one. I had a list of non-negotiables, and in my head, obviously, I didn't present them to him, but I was thinking, okay, that's a big deal for me. We kind of don't align on that, because I think you can be unequally yoked even with another Christian.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, it's not just because they're a Christian. I mean, that's the baseline, right? Yeah. And then you build on that. But definitely have things non-negotiables and not being afraid to say no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good.
I think as well, you know, the Bible says take your everyday, ordinary life and place before God. So, you know, just like any decision that you have, if you are in line with God, aligned with God, you have that sometimes that Holy Spirit gut feeling where even on paper, if it's perfect, you just know it's not right.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you just have to not question what it is that God's trying to say to you and trust it, that in the big picture, it's not right. And, you know, it's better to wait.
Yeah, that unction is super important, yeah.
Yeah, very much so. And also as well, the beauty of doing life with friends.
Wow, yeah.
That's how you accountability,
yeah.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, you do need that super girlfriend honest. To yeah. say, yeah, he's not the
he's
one
not
for
the
you.
Type.
He's not the type. And so, yeah, then that's the beauty of doing life, I guess, in the company of other like-minded people, in the company of other Christian women, in the company of those who are further on than you as well, is to just someone to be able to say, you know, it's like you're picking a dress up and you're not sure.
Yeah.
And it, should I buy it? Should I? And you need your girlfriend to go, oh, that's going to look terrible on you. Like, literally, put it down.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need girl put the guy down. Like, he looks bad on you. Don't he, will you? I know he loves Jesus and I'm sure Jesus loves him, but he ain't the one. And so, no, that's really important. Emily, what practical steps are you taking now? Okay, besides the DIY. Like, and we've talked quite spiritually as well. Is there practical steps that you can take in this? We call it the waiting season, and we call it the waiting season because if you have the desire to be married, and let's be honest, not everybody does. Some people are perfectly happy in their own skin, and that's fine too, because we're complete who we are. But in the waiting season, if you're really believing that God has a someone in your future, even though you do not yet know who that future husband will be, are there sort of any practical things that you can do in that waiting season that has been helpful to you?
Yeah, I think what I try is just to do my best with what's entrusted to my hand. Mm. So I, you know, yearn for a family in my future. How am I loving on my family today?
Right.
You know, I have time. How do I spend my time now? How am I looking after my home now? Because I'm yearning for a home in my future. Because if I am faithful with little, you know, so I will be entrusted with more. But if I'm not, and I think, well, when I have that, then I'll do that. I don't have a life that's ready to carry the weight of that blessing. So I want to make sure every area of my life is in line where it'll be able to carry the weight of what's to come.
I love that. It's incredibly, incredibly wise way of looking at it, that, you know, God just tells us to bring our every day. And it is that every day. You know, if you can't be, and we spoke about this from the platform, didn't we? If you can't be yourself, if you can't be okay in your own company, you're never going to be able to keep good company with anybody else. If you can't be kind to yourself first, then you're never going to be able to show kindness when you've got another person in the equation. So, great wisdom. Ab, let me just ask you this. So you're married now, married and settled down, and when you reflect back on that period of waiting and you're waiting for the right one who was aligned with God, like, when you look back now, how important was that season? And if you could speak into yourself now, if you could speak to that Abby back then, what would you be saying anything different to her?
I'd be saying it's so worth the wait.
Yeah.
It's so worth the wait. And, you know, the world is so tempting in terms of, we touched on it before, saying, you know, well, maybe I'll just go out with a non-Christian. You know, people are getting on with that. You know, you kind of sometimes allow the world to get in your head. And that's why it's super important to, like you said, always keep aligned with the words of God, because the temptation of the world is real, right? And it pulls us. And when you're in that season, you know, the enemy is going to jump on that season where you're feeling really lonely and try and put those lies in your head. Like, a worldly relationship is better. You don't need someone aligned with you. You could go out and go on dates. Why not? And I would just say to her, just keep pressing in, because it's so worth the wait. You know, you don't want a person, when everything's going wrong, to be that one that's going, well, what do we do? You want that one that's going to be like, here's what we do. We get on our knees, we open up the Bible, and just really, you know, I'm able to submit to Josh because I respect him. And so, yeah, it's worth the wait.
That's great. Love that. What about you, Em?
Yeah, I think, you know, in Proverbs 31, it says a lot about, like, you know, her husband will trust her. She will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. So again, it's like, that's God's promise for marriage, of what a woman can be in marriage. So what can I do to become that or be that? And, you know, in this season, I think not putting the pressure on myself for it to be in my time, and allowing that to come in God's time. Because if that's the promise, then it's worth the price of the price.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. That's a great, great conversation. And so, you know, I think what you've said today, what you've shared today, it's been super helpful. You know, I did not have the wisdom and the input, you know, of girlfriends, faith-filled girlfriends around me when I did a season of singleness many, many years ago. And I love that. I don't have daughters. I do have sons. But I think this is just going to be great conversation to help many people and make everyone realize that you are not on your own. But in kind of closing thoughts, what advice could you give to the girls? Like, how could they celebrate their singleness more? And I know in part we've covered this, but there's this tension between, just the frustration comes in so loud. Frustration's like a wrecking ball. It comes unannounced, uninvited. Have you ever just woken up one day and that's it? You've just got that Eeyore black cloud. It's just hovering over your bed. You don't want to get out of the bed. And I think when you feel like inadequate in life or less than, you know, I do remember in my season of being alone, you know, albeit it was 20 something years ago now, but I do remember what it was like when people were going out for meals in couples, and there'd be six couples, and then they would ask me, and I would feel that, immensely feel that I was less than, or thinking, oh, I'd love to go and see that at the cinema, and then thinking, well, all my friends are married and I don't know who I would go to the cinema with. I don't know that I've got the confidence to go and sit in cinema. I probably would now. I'd probably just take myself. I just take myself there now anyway. Like, Luke's like, nah, I'm not into that movie. I'm like, well, I'll go on my own. That really doesn't bother me now. But it does, because it breeds insecurity in us and it festers. And like I said, frustration is like a wrecking ball. You don't invite it into your world. It just, it just arrives. And it, like, it lingers and it hangs over you. And it, I think it affects the way you work. It affects the way you do friendship. It just affects every area, if you like. So how do you think we could better celebrate those seasons of life rather than allowing the frustration of waiting to take over?
I really feel like getting yourself plugged into a community. You know what? Get yourself plugged into a local church. Get yourself plugged into a women's ministry. You know, Braveheart is amazing. There's so many different women from so many walks of life. So, you know, you've got those girls who are journeying that singleness. You've got those women that are journeying divorce. You've got those women that are journeying, you know, the death of their husbands. You know, it's a beautiful community to have, and just being able to call on your girls. Your girls are there through every season. They're going to be the ones that you're calling after the first date. They're going to be the ones that you're calling when something's gone wrong. They're going to be the ones that are there in every season. So I really feel like getting yourself around some like-minded women is absolute gold in your single season.
Yeah, that's great. That is great advice. And in fact, just on that, before we jump into you, just even on that singleness and what you were saying, I'm just reminded that even coming up to Braveheart Conference, which we are getting super close and we're really excited for. But not that this has got anything to do with singleness and relationships.
Yeah.
But we actually have a come on your own group.
We do.
Because even at like conference, you can feel single. And maybe it's not that you're single because you haven't got a partner in life. But maybe you've just got no one to go to conference with. Yeah. So we've set up a come on your own. And you can jump on the website. You can click on the links below. You can get on our Instagram page. And you can make any inquiries you want. But I think we had something like 45 women last year who were in. And they did lunch together. They made friends together. And they stayed connected. Yeah. So you don't have to do life on your own ever. Em, have you got anything you'd like to just add to that final comment about celebrating this season and not feeling frustrated in it?
Yeah, I think frustration causes you to like look down. And when you need to like have a pick me up, you need to be grateful. Like gratitude is always what lifts you.
Yeah.
So whenever I feel low or frustrated or disappointed, I always try to find even a few things to be grateful for.
Love that.
And the more you say or the more you see, you then see more and more because it's never ending. So gratitude definitely for me is the best way to celebrate where I am.
So good. So good. Well, girls, I have really enjoyed having this conversation. I know you both personally as friends, but I'm super grateful to the input that you've put into the women out there. And hey, listen, whoever you are, you don't have to do life alone. God has a plan for you and a purpose for you. And if you have the desire to one day and be married and be with that man of God, then let me tell you, it's a good desire. It's a godly desire. Yeah. And if you're the girl out there and you're like, do you know what? I'm just rocking life on my own right now and all is good. Then hey, we love you and we celebrate you too, because that is also a desire that God has put in your heart. But either way, I want to say to all of you women out there, a very happy Valentine's Day. You are loved. We love you. We cannot wait to see you at conference. Don't do life alone. Hook up with us, connect with us. And until next time on Braveheart Talks, thank you for being with us.